The time of grace is still here. Full redemption. Jesus atoned in our place on Golgotha. Countless multitudes hurry joyfully home. They have found salvation, peace and rest for the soul. Glory to you, Lamb of God. Your sacrifice is accomplished. From our guilt and sin, you have set us free. We are a people of priests, kings in your kingdom. Nowhere on earth is there a name like thine, O Lord. Now the throne of grace is sprinkled with sacrificial blood. And God no more remembers the sin forgiven. The Savior, Son of Love, shines on the good and evil. The people of the New Covenant are united by His blood. Glory to you, Lamb of God. Your sacrifice is accomplished. From our guilt and sin, you have set us free. We are a people of priests, kings in your kingdom. Nowhere on earth is there a name like thine, O Lord. If you come lost and helpless, salvation is there for you. What the world does not offer you, you will find on Golgotha. Peace for questions of doubt, healing for all pain, strength to carry the cross, love for the empty heart. Glory to you, Lamb of God. Your sacrifice is accomplished. From our guilt and sin, you have set us free. We are a people of priests, kings in your kingdom. Nowhere on earth is there a name like thine, O Lord. Glory to you, Lamb of God. Your sacrifice is accomplished. From our guilt and sin, you have set us free. We are a people of priests, kings in your kingdom. Nowhere on earth is there a name like thine. By grace my feet are set on the narrow path into the better world. I will now firmly trust in this grace. I will not fear the waves. only by God's grace can I stand. Free from sin, going steadily forward, never doubting again, I bravely stand, for grace leads me with a high hand. By the grace of God, I'm not willing to give way, but with a sword and shield, I will fight courageously and resist all the enemy's wiles and look up to the Lord. Only by God's grace can I stand, free from sin, going steadily forward, never doubting again, I bravely stand, for the grace leads me with a high hand. By grace I have the spirit of witness, which gladly praises Jesus with new praise. To live only with a surrendered mind, to follow Him faithfully, is now my gain. Only by God's grace can I stand, free from sin, going steadily forward, never doubting again, I bravely stand, for grace leads me with a high hand. By grace I'm freed from fear, for the Lord gives me the courage I need. His grace keeps me in humility when I do what is pleasing to Him. Only by God's grace can I stand, free from sin, going steadily forward, never doubting again, I bravely stand, for grace leads me with a high hand. By grace I look only to Jesus and stand in hope in the eternal building in which Christ has set me as a living stone to the praise of God. Only by God's grace can I stand, free from sin, going steadily forward. Never doubting again, I bravely stand, for grace leads me with a high hand. To this broadcast, a biblical word reflection with Brother Frank, we warmly welcome all brothers and sisters around the world who have tuned in online. We are grateful to God for God's revealed word. May the Lord bless Brother Frank and lead him through His Holy Spirit to say what God wants to say to us. May the Lord bless all the listeners. Before Brother Frank speaks to us, I read a word of introduction from Ephesians, the first chapter, from verse 11. Ephesians 1, from verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Please, Brother Frank, I too would like to greet everyone very warmly. We are grateful to the Lord from the bottom of our hearts that we can have the live broadcasts and that we can be in this way connected with God and with each other through word and spirit, and that the Lord gives grace that we are included in the plan of salvation that He is bringing to completion. Yes, we have been included. We heard it in the word of introduction that the Lord God accomplishes all things according to the decree of His will. And we have let ourselves be included into the will of God. And the will of God is that people should be saved. And at the very end, it is the will of God that the bridegroom, the heavenly bridegroom, will bring home an earthly bride. That is what it is all about. God went to all that trouble for the sake of one thing, namely that all who were included in His plan of salvation before the foundation of the world, that they would be with Him in glory. God knew who would accept it and who would reject it. God knew who would believe and who would not believe. Our task is to proclaim the Holy Word, to present the whole counsel of God to mankind, And then the word will accomplish in those who believe it for what it was sent for. Today we are speaking about the special day, the unique experience that happened at Pentecost. We look back at all the events and experiences in the history of the plan of salvation. First of all, with our Lord, to his birth, to his ministry, to his suffering and death. We look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We look at the fact that our Lord spent 40 days after the resurrection with his disciples, talking to them about the kingdom of God. And then he gave the promise to wait in Jerusalem to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to wait and also to experience. And today we will mainly deal with that. It is Pentecost, the great event of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And to it, we would like to read some scriptures. Please. We read from Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, from verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here we have the tremendous promise, not only to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but at the same time with a power from on high, with a power of the Holy Spirit working all things in all true believers. The promise is so very important. Wait until ye are endued with a power from on high. Let us be honest. In ourselves, we are powerless. But by God's grace, we have received the power, the equipping, the divine authority of the Holy Spirit by his grace. And for that, we are grateful. Please. We read from Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Thanks be to the Lord. Once again, the emphasis, until ye be endued with power from on high. We all know that at Pentecost the Holy Spirit fell, and the Holy Spirit is the power of God that has become effective in all believers. And we all know that everything since the beginning of the New Testament has been done by the power of the Holy Spirit, even with the birth of the Redeemer. The power of the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and that which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. May it be given to us by God that we are truly equipped with this divine power, and we will see it right now, equipped to be able to carry out the ministry. Please, we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 4, a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Thanks be to the Lord. Then the nine gifts of the Spirit are listed that were put into the church by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Most people dwell on the fact that it was spoken in tongues. And that is just wonderful to know that God not only wanted to give a new heart, a new spirit, but that also our tongues are put into the service of God. And that is why it is written, ye will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. On the day of Pentecost, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there appeared not ears or any other member that was penetrated with fire, but the tongue, and it were given to them cloven tongues like as of fire. So, if we think about it, that the tongue is the worst member of our body, as the Apostle James described it so clearly, and God gave here, right at the beginning, at the founding of the New Testament church, not only the nine gifts of the Spirit, but a new tongue that was purified by the fire of God, so that the nine gifts of the Spirit could be used under the guidance of the Holy Spirit for the blessing of the whole church. You can read all these verses in 1 Corinthians 12. All things work the one Spirit of God, the one Lord, the one God, works all things in all who have truly come to the faith and who have received the filling of the power from on high. Let us read on another chapter. We read from Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Thanks be to Almighty God. On the one hand, the nine gifts of the Spirit. On the other hand, the nine fruits of the Spirit, which must be there, to whom God is truly gracious, who has indeed been born again unto a living hope. And we must take to heart what our Lord did first with his disciples after his resurrection. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That was the very first thing. The infilling came later. And if you go back to Genesis and read there that the Lord God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Here the Lord breathed on his own immediately after the resurrection, so that they could become a new creature, to a new soul by his grace. And then he gave the promise that they should wait in Jerusalem until they would be endued with a power from on high. Brothers and sisters, it just needs to be said for the sake of truth. When it is written in the prophet of the Old Testament, yes, in the prophet Joel, that the Lord God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and that we can now say, since Pentecost, we live in the age of grace, in which the Holy Spirit is active on the whole earth. But then we have to say, for the sake of truth, we are looking back at the history of the New Testament Church, and I have taken the time to read through all the chapters of the Book of Acts in one go, in order to know thoroughly once again what and how things happened in the apostolic time, and that we must now be brought back to the beginning, that a complete restoration must take place. After all, we all know the promises that the Lord has given by His grace, and it must be said anew every time that the return of Jesus Christ must be emphasized in every sermon. For our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, and will come again to take you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. We are indeed crucified with Christ, as Paul states very clearly, and can then say, now I live no longer, but Christ lives in me. And if we then come directly to this subject of the baptism of the Spirit, the filling with the Holy Spirit, we may most certainly say, since the days of the Reformation, God has done great things, one revival after the other. But then came the Pentecostal revival, and the year 1906 is especially emphasized when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place in Los Angeles. One can read about it. That's how in our time the working of the Holy Spirit has begun anew. Repentance and faith and baptism have already been preached. Biblical truths have already been preached. Justification by faith, sanctification, it was already preached what was written in the Bible. But then a new period began. And brothers and sisters, we could go to the years 1909 to England, to Wales, where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place. We could go to the city of Kassel in the same year where the Holy Spirit fell. We could go here near Krefeld to Mülheim, where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a Lutheran church where Jonathan Paul was preaching and he suddenly had to stop preaching because the whole congregation was filled with the Holy Spirit. After all, we have been acquainted with what God has done in our time. My testimony is known to all. 1948, I was baptized in a Baptist church. 1949, in a Pentecostal church in Hamburg, I was baptized in the Spirit. So, after the Second World War, I was made familiar with everything that was going on in Germany, in Europe, and in the whole world. Then there is the fact that Brother Branham, on the 11th of June, and we arrived in June, on the 11th of June, 33, Brother Branham received the special instruction to bring the message that would forerun the second coming of Christ. Then I think back to the 11th of June, 1958, when Brother Branham told me in Dallas, Texas, Brother Frank, you will return to Germany with this message. Brothers and sisters, we are not only talking about the baptism of the Spirit, about being filled with the Spirit, about the nine gifts of the Spirit, about the nine fruits of the Spirit. We want all of this to be true now, for God to restore everything, everything that was there in the beginning must be and will be in the end. And we can count on a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For thus saith the Lord through the prophet Zechariah, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit it shall be done. And the Holy Scripture speaks of the early rain and of the latter rain. And we have the most precious promises in the Word of God about what God would do by His grace. Yes, He will do it because He has promised it. And as surely as in the beginning, every promise that the Lord had given to the church found its fulfillment, so surely it happens now. Every promise will find fulfillment. Let us read further. We read from Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yes, beloved brothers and sisters, here we really need to pause a little to reflect on what is happening in our time worldwide, namely in the Pentecostal and Charismatic movement, which all refer to the word that the Lord will pour out His Spirit, and all of them have their own doctrines, their own creeds, go their own ways, and have not recognized what God is doing in our time at all. Please read the verse again. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh, and then sons and daughters, servants and handmaids are especially emphasized. Sons and daughters as the New Testament church, servants and handmaids related to Israel. It really matters that we are now led by the Spirit of God into the Word of God. And I say it with great pain. I have personally experienced all the great evangelists, have partly been their translator in different countries. But, beloved brothers and sisters, what matters now is not only to speak in tongues, to speak of Pentecost, and to create an atmosphere with music. That is no longer what matters today. Today, the point is that all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. And all those who are not led by the Spirit of God into the promises that are meant for this time period, they have experienced God, but go their own ways. Let me say this today in all clarity. Our brothers at the beginning of the New Testament began their preaching, their letters, with the promises given in the Old Testament. Please remember Mark chapter 1. The gospel of God, as he had announced it through his holy prophets. And what comes next? Then come two scriptures from the Old Testament. Immediately, in Mark 1, from verse 1 to 3, and then immediately the scripture that referred to John the Baptist and his ministry is mentioned. Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness. And then as the second, immediately, Malachi 3, verse 1, both scriptures are mentioned by Mark in his letter in the first three verses in chapter 1. That is what it is all about. My beloved brothers and sisters, we must open the Bible. We must read what was written here. When I had this thought that all the brothers in the New Testament referred to the Old, that apostles and prophets agreed. Do you know what I did then? Then I took the letters to the Romans and I read it from the first chapter to the last, without stopping. I don't know if it was 4 hours. In any case, I read through all the letters to the Romans in one go. And we did that in the office. And we counted the scriptures that Paul mentioned in his letters to the Romans from the Old Testament, whether it were 63 or 65 scriptures which this man of God used in his letters to the church at Rome from the Old Testament to say what he had to say in the New Testament based on what was already foretold in the Old. I began to give thanks, to rejoice, to praise, and thank the Lord God that our brethren at the beginning got straight to the point and didn't just start to preach, but went to what was written and what happened and gave it back to us. And now we come again to this tremendous verse. All who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the children of God. Brothers and sisters, who is led by the Spirit of God today? What preacher starts with his sermon from the Old Testament and then goes on and shows again and again and again how Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled in the New Testament? This too may be said again and again, that God would send a prophet like Elijah, who would turn the heart of the fathers back to the children to prepare a people for the Lord. Like John the Baptist and of his ministry in Luke 1, verse 16 and 17, it was testified that through his ministry the Old Testament fathers were led to the faith of the New Testament children. Luke comes to this in chapter 1 and then writes, to prepare a people pleasing to the Lord. And he actually only mentions the one scripture from the one verse, namely, that he turns the hearts of the fathers to the children. And that was it. He placed it biblically. He was not allowed to read the second scripture at that time. And he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. I must read it today because it has become truth through the Elijah of our time, through the ministry of Brother Branham. The hearts of the children of God have been brought back to the faith of our fathers. And I say it by God's commission, as did our brethren in the beginning, be it Matthew, be it Mark, be it Luke, be it John, all of them from the beginning have testified to what God promised and then fulfilled. And all who are of God will hear the word of God. Thus it is written. And all who are led by the Spirit of God, they will truly be led into all the truth of the word. Again, the comparison with today. Over 555 million on earth claim to have received the Holy Spirit, and they have their charismatic meetings. They pray for the sick. They pretend that everything is fine and that they are part of the kingdom of God. But they have not even recognized the call of God, the promises of God for this time. Namely, that also doctrinally, everything has been brought back to the beginning. All of them have remained in the doctrine of the Trinity, in the Trinitarian baptism. They have really remained in everything that they established for themselves as a statement of faith at their founding therein they remained until today. Whether it's the Lutherans, whether it's the Wesleyans, whether it's Baptists, whether it's all of them, all denominations, all of them have stuck to what was laid down in their creed at the time of their founding. But God has given grace that a calling out, a correction is brought, that God is not made up of three eternal persons, that there are not three almighty ones, three present ones, but one eternal almighty God who has revealed himself to us in the New Testament as Father in heaven, in the Son on earth, in the Church, through the Holy Spirit. One God revealed in different ways to bring his own plan of salvation to fulfillment. Likewise, with baptism, not a single person was baptized in the Trinity formula in biblical times. Not once has the word Trinity been put into the mouth of a prophet or apostle. Not once have all the doctrines that are believed everywhere today been put into the mouths of prophets or apostles. All continue in their belief. But we have returned to the faith of which it is written, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, of which it is written, contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And may all preachers once become so humble as to read that there has not been a single act in the Trinity formula, neither in the Old Testament nor in the New. Please humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves in the last moment before the return of Jesus Christ under the holy and precious word of God, that it might be said anew, and they continued in the doctrine of the apostles, in prayer, and in the breaking of bread. What church today is in the doctrine of the apostles? Once again, I want to say it clearly. God has called in our time Brother Branham to bring the original, holy, divine message, to restore everything and then the end should come. And we have indeed come to the end of the time of grace. And may not only all preachers May all who call themselves believers in all fellowships, in all of Christendom, may all who want to be at the rapture, who want to have part in the first resurrection, who want to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, may they all realize that there is no confusion in the Word of God, and there is also no confusion in the Church of the Lord. We have wanted to say it from the beginning. The Holy Spirit was poured out into the church on the day of Pentecost. And then we read about the nine gifts of the Spirit. And then we read about the nine fruits of the Spirit. Forget everything else. Come back to God. Read these scriptures and ask yourself the question, does this apply to me, to my church, of which I am a member? Does 1 Corinthians 12 apply to us as a local church? Does it apply to the ministering brethren? Just look into the Word. Do a self-examination, because I will say it again, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the church, people no longer have the right to decide anything in the church. Only the Holy Spirit decides what happens in the church. What was taught must be taught anew today. What happened in the beginning must happen anew today. People have no say at all in the kingdom of God, because they build their own kingdom in their own churches anyway. But the Lord is building His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let us summarize what it is about now. There has never been such a serious period in the 2000 years of the New Testament Church as in our time. We see Bible prophecy being fulfilled worldwide, not only on Israel, on the nations, and we all hear the daily news and are already waiting for the next bad news to come. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled all over the earth, with climate change, with everything that is happening. Everything has been foretold, and everything is happening. And our Lord said, when all these things come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. But before the redemption of the body can take place at the return of Jesus Christ, A bride must be prepared for the bridegroom, for thus it is written, and his bride has made herself ready, and it was given unto her to be clothed in bright white linen. Thus it is written, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. It is not the whole of Christianity that says, Come, but the Holy Spirit and the bride. And we all know that Matthew 25 speaks of the bridegroom. Our Lord is the bridegroom, and his church is the bride. And that is why now, before the return of Jesus Christ, everything in the church of the living God must be in place biblically. And we believe that the Lord will also give grace to all the ministering brethren throughout the earth, that they will read the book of Acts in its entirety, and that we will all be brought together to seek and find the Lord in earnest prayer and experience him in a whole new way. Many are waiting for the baptism in the Spirit, and I tell you, the Lord will fulfill everything, and we will experience the most powerful working of the Spirit, and then everything will be as it was in the beginning. And then the Lord will come again to take us home. May all worldwide, in all nations and tongues, be blessed, find grace before God, and take to heart what is written 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3, namely, to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches, in all nations and tongues, to the Church of Jesus Christ. But worldwide, it is churches that hear to what the Spirit has to say to the churches. The Scripture is fulfilled before our eyes. God has sent his promised prophet. We can read everything and are grateful to the Lord God for opening our eyes, our hearts, our understanding, so that we can see the Scriptures in their fulfillment and experience them by grace. Please believe and be convinced that the Lord will fulfill every promise he has made to us who believe the promises. Faith is anchored in the promises and leads to fulfillment. Praised and glorified be the Lord our God, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer. Brother Borg will give thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word that we have heard clearly this morning. In the beginning, you poured out your Spirit in Jerusalem on your people. And we ask you to pour out your Spirit once more on your people at the end of the time of grace. May all the gifts of the Spirit be manifested in the Church of the Living God. All the fruits of the Spirit personally in our lives. Lord, for the glorification of your holy name, thank you for what you have done for us. We look up to you. We lay everything into your hands. And we thank you. Bless all the listeners, all your people worldwide. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When the trumpet shall sound, when the shout shall ring loudly, through valleys and mountain depths, and into the graves, when the King will appear full of splendor, to fetch his bride, whom he then calls to himself, as she exults in the air, gloriously transfigured in his light, gloriously transfigured into his light. The call will go out, the dead will rise, gloriously transfigured into his light. When he comes in the clouds of heaven, and those who loved him here rise from the graves and wave the glad victorious banner, when the body and the soul unite, death kills no more. How they rejoice then, standing there, who see each other face to face, gloriously transfigured into his light, gloriously transfigured into his light. The call will go out, the dead will rise, gloriously transfigured into his light. What was sown in earthly weakness will then come forth in power. The song of the redeemed resounds to him who creates such great things. When the dawn illuminates the darkness and the golden day dawns, how they rejoice then around, who now no longer separate, gloriously transfigured into his light, gloriously transfigured into his light, gloriously transfigured into his light. The call will go out, the dead will rise, gloriously transfigured into his light.